Hey, Grace, there's a new fun fair going down in Westminster.
Oh, I heard about that.
Do you want to come?
Yeah.
Yes. What time should we go? Let's make it about 12 o'clock.
Okay.
Afternoon. There's a new fun fair going in Westminster. Want to come?
Yeah, but what about school?
Nobody cares about school. Wow, this fun fair is sick.
Cool. Should we go on a roller coaster?
Wait.
Yeah, it is.
Mr. Jones, this is the school speaking.
Okay.
I'm a teacher.
Okay.
We're just wondering where your children were this afternoon.
But they're supposed to be at school.
They were supposed to be at school, but they weren't at school.
What? Are you serious?
I tell you, I am so serious that they were not present in school this afternoon.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I will.
Otherwise,
okay.
You have to report it to the police. It's a very serious matter.
Oh, okay. See you. Bye.
Guess what?
What?
Our children were at school today. They were surprisingly not there for school registration.
Well, they did tell me something that they're bunk off school this morning.
No, as soon as they get home, we're going to get a big thump on the head. A big one.
Hi, Mom. Hi.
Where were you?
At school, yeah.
Oh, really? Because the school principal told me that you were at school. Don't lie to me.
Everyone, there are no sweets allowed in school, and how come you have sweets in your hand?
Yeah.
No reason.
You're grounded.
What? Grounded?
Because you surprisingly bunked off school.
No, we didn't.
Yes, you did.
No, we didn't.
Why were you there for school registration? You're grounded for even more.
Stop. Fine.
Come back here.
No.
Wait there, I'm gonna go and get us a snack.
Give me the money!
Oh, that's
give
me the
money!
That's
all
I got! Give me the money! Fine, take it!
I never had enough money to pay for the food. Please may I have the other half of the money.
We just got robbed.
What?
Well, it's your fault anyway.
I knew I shouldn't let you two alone.
What are you two, what are you three doing this late at night?
We had an argument with our parents.
How?
Because we bunked off school.
Why did you bunk off school?
Because there was a new farm fair in Westminster.
It was brilliant. But do you think it was right to lie to your parents?
No. I know.
You lot have to apologise to your parents.
Have you seen our parents with the belt? Are you serious?
I have some parents too. So I'll come with you. Come on.
Okay, fine.
It's your fault! Your fault! Huh?
How can it be my fault if you didn't help me raise the children up for
me? I raised them good. You're the one that's sitting there doing nothing, putting your hands over their head. Or over your head. What do you have to say for yourself?
But I don't have to say anything, thank you.
Oh, I'm gonna get you!
In the name of Jesus!
But who are you?
I am a sheep pastor!
I'm sorry. I was gonna really hit them.
Your children have something to say to you.
Sorry.
Sorry.
For? Bunking off school.
Why?
Because there was a new front fair.
Then why didn't you just tell us the truth rather than lying to us?
I'm very sorry. We're sorry.
Don't apologize to me. Like, well, your mom is the one that was really, 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 really more sad than me.
Sorry.
It's okay. Just remember, don't lie again and bunk off school.
The end.
Ephesians chapter 6 verses 1 to 3. Children, obey your parents the way the Lord wants. This is the right thing to do. The command says, honor your father and mother. This is the first command that has a promise with it. The promise is, then everything will be well with you, and you will have long life on earth. Amen.
Now the young people are going to come and join the children on stage, and they've all written a song with some rap in it as well for you.
Okay.
for changing my nappy. Sorry for the times that I ignored you because you kissed my boo-boo. Means for the ones out there who went through so much pain. Folks, get out immediately because the mom is here for me.
We just want to say thank you, mom. Cause you did for me all the way. Say thank you, mommy. Every day we pray, God makes us more like you.
Help me fill out all my home papers for my parties 1 to 6. Let me help with the cake mix.
We just wanna say
thank you for my birthday party and all the clothes you gave me.
For taking me crapper. Thank you for taking me to crap and thank you for spending a lot of time all with me.
Now we're going to have a Bible reading, which the young people are going to do a mime to. And the reading is 1 Samuel, chapter 1, verses 1 to 20, followed by chapter 2, verses 18 to 21.
There was a certain man from Ramathan, a Zuphah from the hill of Ephraim man, whose son was Elkanah, son of Joaham, the son of Eliehu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuph, an Ephraimite. He had two wives. One was called Hannah, and the other Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had none. Year after year, this man, he went up from his town to worship and sacrifice before the Lord, the Almighty, at Shiloh. Whenever the day came for Elkanah to sacrifice, he would give portions of the meat to his wife, Peninnah, and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah he gave a double portion, because he loved her, and the Lord had closed her womb. And because the Lord had closed her womb, her rival kept provoking her in order to irritate her. And the rival provoked her and provoked her and provoked her.
Hannah, I think I can see something. Hey, Joseph 3J earlier.
Until she wept and wept and would not eat. Elkanah, her husband, would say to her,
Hannah, why are you crying? Don't have me more to you than 10 children.
Once, when they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, Hannah got up. Now Eli the priest was sitting on a chair. by the doorpost of the Lord's temple. In bitterness of soul, Hannah wept and prayed to the Lord, and she made a vow, saying,
Lord, if you give me a son, I'll give him to you, and no razor shall touch his head.
And she kept on praying to the Lord, and Eli, he observed her mouth. Hannah was praying in her heart, and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Eli thought she was drunk, and he got up, and he said to her,
Why are you always drunk, woman? Get rid of your beer at once.
I'm not drunk, I'm simply praying to the Lord.
Go in peace, and the God of Israel shall grant what you have asked of him.
God bless you too.
And she went away and ate something, and her face was no longer downcast. Early the next morning they arose and worshipped before the Lord. And they went back to their home at Ramah. Elkanah stayed with his wife Hannah, and the Lord remembered her. And so in the course of time Hannah conceived and gave birth to a son. And she was named him Samuel. Samuel was ministering before the Lord, a boy wearing a linen ephod. Each year, his mother made him a little robe and took it to him when she went up with her husband to offer the annual sacrifice. Eli would bless Elkanah and his wife, saying,
May the Lord give you children by this woman to take the place of the one she prayed for and gave to the Lord.
Then they would go home, and the Lord was gracious to Hannah. She conceived and gave birth to 3 sons and 2 daughters. Meanwhile, the boy Samuel grew up in the presence of the Lord. Thank you.
Hello?
Speak to me, my father, in a small voice. I'm reaching all my tears and sorrows. Hear me when I cry, my father. Hear me when I cry. Hear me when I cry, my father. Hear me when I cry.
Speak to me, my father, in a small voice. I'm reaching all my tears and sorrow. Hear me when I cry, my father. Hear me when I cry. Hear me when I cry, my father. Hear me when I cry.
Speak to me, my father, in a small voice.
I'm reaching all my tears and sorrows. Hear me when I cry, my father. Hear me when I cry. Hear me when I cry, my father. Hear me when I cry. Father, hear me when I cry.
Hear me when I cry, my father. Hear me when I cry.
Speak to me, my father, in a small voice. I'm reaching all my tears and sorrows.
Hear me when I cry.
Now the children have got some prayers that they've written that they'd like to read for you.
Lord, I just want to thank you for giving us mothers. You have blessed us greatly. You have made us complete. Lord, you have given us a woman to take care of us and to love us. Mothers stay with us through thick and thin. That's why I love my mum with all my heart. Amen.
Amen.
Dear Lord, thank you for Mother's Day and all that they have done for us, and that we can try and repay them in every way. But that throughout our lives together, our friendship will grow stronger forevermore. I pray especially for people in care who either have been treated badly by their mothers or never knew them, that they will forgive and remember them today. Amen.
Dear God, Lord, we thank you for blessing us with moms and always being there for us, and like Mary with Jesus. Amen.
Dear God, I thank you, God, for my mom and that she's alive. So bless this day called Mother's Day and bless her and my birth. God, please bless my mom. Amen.
So my question to you this morning is, why bother with the Ten Commandments? Like, I've been thinking about this, and I think that sometimes it can be tempting to neglect them as just kind of old rules that are invalid and outdated, and like they were given to Israel thousands of years ago, and the people were very different from us, and society has changed a lot since then. But I don't think that the Ten Commandments are outdated or irrelevant. I think that they're universal and that they will stand through time, and that we should try and kind of learn from them and take from them, because I believe that God intended for them to be relevant for us too, and not just for Israel at the time he gave them to them. I know that they can be challenging and that often we'll break them, and just because we're human, but that doesn't mean that we shouldn't try to keep following them. We shouldn't just give up, and we shouldn't condemn ourselves or put ourselves down if we can't keep them all the time, because that's never going to be possible. And today we're going to be focusing on the fifth commandment, which is, honor your father and mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. And so it talks mainly about honoring your parents, and that can be really hard, especially as a young person when you're growing up and you're trying to work out who you are as an independent person, and your parents sometimes kind of seem to want different things to what you want, and it can be hard to honour them through that. But it doesn't mean that young people shouldn't try and follow that commandment just because they're growing up into adults themselves. And I don't believe that this commandment is invalid or outdated, even just like any of the others. Like, often it can feel like in society the norm of a nuclear family has gone, and that families are broken or have different problems. But That doesn't mean that we shouldn't try and follow this commandment. It doesn't matter what form your family takes, or who is part of your family, or who is absent from your family life. God knows each individual family situation, and he knows everyone's thoughts and feelings towards family members and towards their parents. And it doesn't mean that we should just give up on this commandment. Families have been broken and messed up since the beginning of creation. Adam and Eve's children killed each other. But God, still knowing this, chose to give us this commandment as one of his 10 commandments for his people. So I want to look at what this commandment means for us today. And I looked it up in the dictionary, and it describes honouring as to hold in respect or esteem and to show courteous behaviour towards. And then in a book by J. John about the 10 commandments, he describes honouring your parents as giving them value and respect. It means esteeming them of worth, even if we disagree with them. It rules out entirely any attitude where we reject our parents as worthless, but it does not mean automatically obeying them. And also, to honour parents means to obey them in our younger years, to support them in their older years, and to respect them through all the years. So what I've taken from this is that it seems honouring parents is basically about showing respect to them and the position that God has put them in our lives through the attitude and actions we have towards them, but that it's also important to use our own discernment when to listen to them and follow them, because our parents are human too, and they won't always be right, but that doesn't mean that we should reject them or cut them out of our lives. So practically, I think this means that, as J. John suggests in his book, that we should accept, appreciate, and affirm our parents. And it's about demonstrating this through our attitude to them and finding small practical ways to show that we care, and like just simple things like involving them in your life, making an effort, supporting them and praising them. For example, last night I was at an XRP event. It was an art showcase where we give young people the chance to kind of perform in an art form of their choice to their parents and their community. And there was a large dance group up, and they listed their parents as an inspiration to them. And they said that they wouldn't be there today without their parents supporting them. And it was a really easy, quick thing for them to say and do. But I bet that meant a lot to their parents that they said that and took the time just for 5 seconds to say that their parents made a lot to them. But I don't believe this commandment is just about children and their parents. I believe it's about God safeguarding his plan for the whole of the institution of the family. God himself is a community. He is three in one. And like him, we're designed to live in supportive, positive community networks. And I believe that family is one of the structures God put in place for this. When he was designing humans, he knew that we needed people to look out for each other. So he gave us families. But he knew that no family would ever be perfect. He knew that families would always cause each other hurt and pain, and he understands that we get hurt by our families. But God loves us, and he wants to help us and support families so that families can live the best lives they can. And this commandment is about God giving instructions to families, a sort of benchmark for them to work towards, a way of him showing us what he wants family life to be like, how it was intended to be like. It's also a way of God supporting and teaching families how to live. In Ephesians 4, 6, verse 4, Paul gives instructions that partnered the Ten Commandment to parents, and he says, "Parents, don't be hard on your children. Raise them properly, teach them and instruct them about the Lord." Both children and parents need to work at living the way God instructs us if we want a family life more like he intended family life to be. And I got thinking about how if one generation of parents were to commit to bringing up their children in the ways of the Lord, how in turn those children would then choose to honour their parents and then grow up into adults who would raise their own children in the ways of the Lord. And it would create a cycle of children and parents honouring and teaching each other in the ways of the Lord, and how much difference that could make to society if each generation committed to being that and praying for the others in their generation. The second part of the commandment in Exodus says that so you may live long in the land the Lord God, your God, is giving you. So this commandment has a promise attached to it. It's unique from all the other Ten Commandments. It's the only one with a promise. And reflecting on this promise that we may live long in the land the Lord God is giving you led me to think about God as our Heavenly Father. When we choose to honour God by accepting him into our lives, he fulfills the same promise spiritually in our lives. He offers us eternal life. So I believe that when we accept God as our Heavenly Father in our hearts, we can have a relationship with God as a Heavenly Father. And grasping the concept of God being a Father and what it means for our lives can be really tough. We link the word Father with our experiences of earthly fathers and earthly men, and earthly men, even good earthly men, aren't perfect. Every man makes mistakes, just like every human. But God doesn't make mistakes. He is perfect. And he can comfort and provide and protect and love and care for us as a father, a perfect father. And I believe that God has a fatherly love for us, and that it's unconditional, everlasting, and never changing. And I believe that it's only when we accept God's fatherly love into our lives that we can truly grasp the concept of God's love. And I believe that in doing so, we'll be able to have a deeper relationship with God. And that when we let God love us as our Father, we experience his love in a whole new way. And sometimes I feel like it can be easier to relate to God as a Father, and it can be easier sometimes to honour God as our Father than it can be to honour our earthly parents. God doesn't hurt us or cause us pain or in the same way that our earthly parents do. So sometimes it's often easier to honour God, and maybe I'd like to challenge you to think about the ways you choose to honour God and think about how you can transfer that to your earthly parents and look at ways you could try and honour them in the same ways that you might honour God, and that in turn you might be able to improve your relationship with earthly parents through learning how to improve your relationship with God. And I'd just like to conclude by saying that I believe that it's because God loves us that he gave us this commandment. He wants to help and support us in having family lives as close to his original plan for families as possible. He knows that it will be hard and that we will mess up, but because of his love, he sent Jesus, and if we asked him to forgive us when we mess up, he will do. And he can help us to do better in the future if we ask him as well. He also knows and understands that other members of our family will mess up and cause us pain as well. But he wants to help us through that too. And that if we pray, his spirit can help us with that pain. Because I believe that God gave us this commandment out of love. I believe that we should try our best to follow it, especially when it's hard to. Following God's guidance is the best way to live, and it's honouring him as our Heavenly Father when we choose to follow his command and try the best we can in his strength to honour our parents. So I'd like to invite the children back up to sing one final song.
Water, wait in the water, chill. said, I went to the wall one day to pray and my soul got happy, so I stayed all day. And when I stayed even longer, I felt even stronger. And that's how I knew I was wading in the water.
Just like her, I went down to pray. And this is what the compass got to say when I say wade, you say in the water. Wade
in the water,
wade
in the water.
And just like her, I went down to pray. And this is what the compass got to say when I say wade, you say in the water. Wade
in the water,
wade
in the water.
Wade in the water, wade in the water, children, now wade in the water, cause God's gonna trouble the water.
Stay.
Yeah, well done.
Okay, yeah, let's give them a clap, shall we? Because they've done. We've done as good. You can sit down for a moment. You can sit down for a moment.
God bless all you mums.
Amen. We want to thank the youngsters for all the, and their leaders. I want to thank all their leaders for putting in the work with us. And to say that Samuel had to go, but before he left, he said that he's got facilities that if you guys want to record those songs that you've done, then he can get some recording for those songs. He'd like you guys to record what you've done this morning. So that's great. That's great. I also want to say, if anyone's been touched by what's been said, see myself or one of the leaders, the love of God is a powerful thing, powerful quality. If you want to know how to respond, to wade in the water a bit more deeply, then I'll be around afterwards and one of the other leaders, please see us. We've got some plants. We're going to have one more final song to sing. Therese? No, up here. It's a famous song. It's one that gets everybody going. Marcia, let me. While we're singing the last song, that's it. Guys, I want you to come and be able to give out. While we're singing the last song, when we're singing the last song, yeah?
Yeah. The children have requested we sing this last song. Amen. Hear my cry, O Lord. Attend unto my prayer. So let us stand and, give thanks.